When I say 7-Up, what do you think about?
Soda.
That's right. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not talking about soda. I like this list of resolutions. I call them the 7-Ups. And no, they're nothing to do with soda. These 7-Ups fall under the heading of attitudes and actions. And the first one is, wake up. Begin the day with the Lord. It's His day. Rejoice in it. The second one is, dress up. Put on a smile. It improves your looks. And it says something about your attitude. Number 3, shut up. Watch your tongue. Don't gossip. Say nice things and learn to listen. Number 4 is stand up. Take a stand on what you believe in. Resist evil and do good. Number 5 is look up. Open your eyes to the Lord. After all, He is your only Savior. Number 6, reach up. Spend time in prayer with your adorations and confessions and thanksgivings and supplications to the Lord. And last but not least, lift up. Be available to help those in need, serving, supporting, and sharing. Amen.
You should have been an auctioneer. I bet you would have been a good one. Give me $1, give me $1, give me $1 and a quarter. I got 50 cents over here, $1.75, $2. I can just see. I take notes. Oh, love it.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
I asked Rick if I could share something with you. I was reading the Bible a few weeks ago, and something just jumped out at me and wouldn't let me go. And I felt like it was a word for us here, and so I really appreciate being able to share that. But before we start that, I asked Joe, this is something we do in the prison. You know, put up that slide. We always have new people in the prison, and so I could preach on this every week, so I have to stop. This is how we always start the word, and I say, Jesus says the word of God is a seed, right? And so if you plant a tomato seed, what do you expect to get out of it? You're going to get a tomato. And the difference in the plants is how you care for it, right? And so God says to hide His word in our heart. And then as that word goes in, it's a seed. It's going to produce whatever the word says that it will produce. Do you all agree with that?
Amen.
So we just make this profession of faith every week. And this morning I just felt like we could do it here. So we're still going to all say it together, all right? This is Psalm 103, and I personalized it. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion, who satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Every one of those is a seed. And as we believe it and see that as truth, right, it is going to grow and produce what He promised it would.
Amen?
Amen? All righty. That's just a bonus right there, but I just felt like the Lord said to start off with that. I get so excited by that. Every week I have to make myself stop. I do. Because it's like, that's what Jesus did. Nope, I'm starting, see? But that's what He did on the cross right there. And David got a glimpse of that 1,000 years before Jesus came. And it's just amazing, you know? It's just amazing. God is real. Well, all right. Well, I want to turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. And I want to talk about salvation. I know it's no new thing here when the songs coincide with what the word's going to be. And so I just want to talk about salvation this morning. And we're going to read, I've been trying to think of how to do this exactly. Well, let's do it a different way. All right, we'll leave. You can leave that up there, Joe. But I'm gonna start. We're gonna have a little game show, up here, and we've got four contestants. All right, and you're gonna judge which contestant wins the prize. Okay, and so we're gonna ask him. Well, how do you get saved? And we just sang about it this morning, right? So we're gonna ask him. The first contestant says, "Well, if the good things I've done outweigh the bad things that I've done, I think God will let me into heaven." Okay, now you get the vote. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs down. Well, meh, he loses. Second one says, "Well, the old man upstairs, he's too busy running the universe. I don't really know if he's paying much attention to me. I don't really know if I'm even worthy for salvation." Now, he sounds humble, but thumbs up. Lorraine's just right away. Thumbs down. That's not going to get you salvation. The next person says, we hear this. Used to hear this in prison a lot. Well, the roof would fall in if I ever went into a church. Right? You ever heard that expression? Right? So what they're saying is, God's not powerful enough to save me. Right? Again, that sounds, maybe it sounds a little humble. Actually, it's pride. Right? But Lorraine, oh, Lorraine's... All right. And then the last one is, well, I believe that we get saved by God's grace through faith. Oops, we've got two thumbs up. All right, that's the one that wins the prize, isn't it? All right. And Paul talks about this here in Romans chapter 10. And he says, we're just going to read that right through verse 13. You ready? I think I'm reading the New King James. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend to the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is, I love this, the word of faith which we preach. And if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on him. For whoever, you all know this verse, right? Can we all say it together? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, you know, we've kind of put to rest all these other arguments, right? But you see that Paul's talking about how people's attitudes on coming into salvation, and they're saying it's by my works. Right? And Paul's saying, you can't work your way in. Right? He's saying, and then he's talking about God being remote. Do we have to bring God down in order to get salvation? Wayne's going, no, God's not remote, is he? The word is near you, right? And then the other is, you know, well, we got to bring him up from the dead. And really what that's talking about is you realize the work of the cross provided forgiveness and provided healing, but it didn't get you saved. Did you know that? This is the resurrection that got you saved. And when Christ was raised from the dead, guess who else was raised from the dead?
We were
raised from the dead, right? So you were born again through that resurrection of Christ and that new life that was coming, right? And so to say, well, Christ is, you know, we got to bring him up from the grave. What we're saying is, there's no power in this. There's no power, you know, there's no power in Jesus because he's dead now, right? But no, that's not what the word of faith says, is it? The word of faith says no, because he died, I died. Because he was buried, my old man was buried, right? And when he rose, I rose in him. And when he ascended, oh, somebody say praise God.
Praise.
When he ascended, who ascended?
I.
Oh, come on now. Who ascended?
We did. ascended.
You ascended. Yes, we ascended. And where are you seated right now? You are seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places, far above all powers and principalities, right? That is the work of the cross. And so, you know, we see these different mindsets, but I'm going to tell you what happens to us as we come into a relationship with God is that you may notice that some people are, you know, more... we don't talk about ladies' group, but I heard a little thing about, Priscilla, did you bring it up?
Yeah.
About what kind, are you a Mary, a Martha, or a Lazarus, right? And, you know, some of us are more work-oriented, some are more, quiet or introspective, things like that. You know, we all have those. And so when we come into salvation and come into this walk with the Lord, sometimes we bring those mindsets in with us, right? We know that we entered by grace, but then it's like, well, now how do I live this out, okay? And so there's a few pitfalls, I believe, that the Spirit of God is pointing out to us here. And so the first one is, you know, well, I know I didn't earn my way in, but now that I'm in, somebody's already knows where I'm going, right? The harder I work, the more God likes me, right? I've got a need. That means I've got to make sure that I'm on God's good side. I've got to make sure I'm praying enough. I've got to make sure I'm reading my Bible. You know, and we try to earn, not consciously. This is a heart mindset. We try to earn God's favor by what we do, right? And what it does is it brings us right back under the law, because Satan's one of his names is the accuser of the brethren, right? So are you ever going to be able to do enough to please Satan? Huh? No. He's always going to be able to accuse you about something. And if he can't find something today, he'll bring up something from the past. Isn't that right? There's always something that will knock the foundation out from underneath you if you're trying to please God by how you work. So just like, what are we going to do with that, Lorraine? We're going to try to earn God's favor? How many thumbs down? Two thumbs down. Two thumbs down. We are just going to give up trying to earn God's favor, right? And then the next one is, you know, God's way up there. Some of us come into this, well, I just don't feel like God's with me right now. I don't feel His power. I must have done something, right? And it just feels like, anybody ever felt that way? Nobody's going to raise their hand. You all. Well, I have. I've always said, if you have a bad case of the flu, it doesn't even feel like you're born again. Right? You feeling the joy of the Lord when you're... No, you're not. You just... Right? You don't live by your feelings. Right? But sometimes, you know, we had a fellow when we were home meetings for a lot of the inmates that got out in this area. And this guy, every time something went wrong, he was like, well, God's mad at me. You know, He's turned his back on me because something went wrong in my life, right? And, you know, that's a real thing that we can deal with, right? It's like God's up there, and, you know, what it is we're dealing with rejection. If we've dealt with a lot of rejection in our lives, that can spill over into our relationship with God. And so what are we going to do with that one by faith, Lorraine? What do we do with it? We're going to live out of rejection? Tell me, if I'm picking on you too much, I loved your quick thumbs down. We're going to go, no, by faith, no. We're not living out of rejection, right? And so the third one, we're going to get to the good news in a minute here, okay? But we're just hitting the bad stuff. And so the bad one is, oh, I need more of the Holy Spirit, right? Oh, no, there's not, you know, I need more power in my life. What, you know, and what we're saying is, in not consciously, but in our heart is, he really hasn't been raised from the dead yet, because I'm not feeling his power right now, right? You know? And so, you know, we just come into this place of, you know, well, what we are is we're victims, right? Poor me, right? I just need God to move. I need, right? And I'm not picking, do you feel like I'm picking on you right now? No, but we all deal with those, right? That's why this is in the scripture, right? We're not going to live by the law. We're not going to live by performance. We're not going to live out of rejection, and we're not victims, right? All three of those, Paul says, put those all away, because that is not what the word of faith said. The word of faith says something to us, right? The word of faith says something to us. And what's it say? What's he saying there? He says the word is what? Verse 9. I don't want to put my glasses on. But I did. Verse 8. What does it say? The word is what? What? Where is it? You're right. It's near you. And where is it? It's in two places. What? Say it loud. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. You know, we can talk to our poor friend with the rejection and say, well, wait a minute. God's not up there somewhere busy doing something else, right? He hasn't forgotten me right now, right? Where is the word? It's near me. And where is it? It's in my heart. And because it's in my heart, what am I going to do? I'm going to speak it out. A word that's not spoken is not a word. Isn't that right? It's a thought. Right? A word that's not spoken is a thought. But this is, he's not saying the thought of faith. What's he saying? He's saying the word of faith. And so, and he says, well, let's go to verse 10. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Now, we didn't watch Super Bowl. We haven't watched football. I mean, that's fine if you do. We just have never watched it. And But I caught wind that the Chiefs were supposed to win, right? Everybody thought that. That's what I thought. That's what I thought I heard. The Chiefs were supposed to win. Did they win?
No.
Did they lose? Oh, Wayne's like us, right? Did they lose spectacularly? Anybody who watched the game? They, okay. Guess what they were? They were put to shame. All right? There was no glory when they walked off the field. Okay? And what the Word of God says here in our life is that as we live out of this Word of faith, right, that we will never be put to shame. All right? And I don't know about you, but that's good news. You see, shame for us is when the devil wins. And what he's saying is, as we live a life now, okay, as we live a life walking in this word of faith, he says that your job is to put the devil to shame, not to have him put you to shame. Amen? That's good news. So in you got Colossians, Joe? Colossians 2? So here's the key for what we want to do here. It says, now, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, what does it say? Do what? Walk ye in him. Or in the New King James, it says, continue to live your lives in him. All right? So now, how are you going to walk us out? Lorraine? We're going to have thumbs down to performance,
yep.
Rejection, and victimhood. Isn't that right? That's the only way that you get in is by just receiving this gift of grace. Isn't that right? And so now, how are we going to walk this life out from this point on?
In faith.
Go ahead. What?
In faith.
In faith, right? In faith what? What are we believing? How close is your salvation? Where is it? Way up there? Jesus! No, where is it? Your salvation is in your heart. Right? So if it's in your heart, and then how do we release that salvation? You speak it out. So now, you know, the Bible says that we were saved in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says that we have been saved. In 1 Corinthians 1, 18, it says we are being saved, right? And then in Romans 13, 11, it says that you will be saved, right? There's the progression of salvation is you enter in But then you are continually being saved. Now, what's that mean? It means, does the cross didn't do its job? No, that's salvation. The word salvation means healing. It means salvation for your soul. It means healing for your body, for your emotions, for your mind. It means deliverance from spiritual oppression. It means a life that prospers, a life where there's a wholeness. Now did anybody notice that all of that didn't change the day that you got saved? A lot changed, right? But did everything change?
No,
because you're being saved. The power of the cross is what is having its work in us, and it's changing us continually, and it's meeting those places of need. It's changing it's changing our character as our mind is renewed. All of that, everything that Jesus put into us on the day of salvation is being released in us. That's being saved. And then on the day that we will be saved, that's the day when Jesus gives us a glorified body. We know him just as much as he knows us. That's something to look forward to. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is a work of salvation going on in every life here. And the way that salvation works is we've repeated it over and over. It's not by works. It's not hindered by rejection. It's not hindered by victimhood. It is a work of grace that causes his people to overcome, right? So, you're all agreeing with me on this. I'm a little nervous about this, but I'll just say, and I think this is a friendly crowd here, but. Has anybody heard about Doge?
Oh, yeah.
Few people?
Yep.
Some people are mad about it. A lot of people are happy about it. What's Doge set to do? It's set to root out fraud and abuse in our government. Waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. Okay? It's being resisted, in my humble opinion, by people who benefit from waste, fraud, and abuse, right? And then it's also being resisted by people with what do we call them, the establishment in political terms, but it's institutional thinking, right? It's like, this is the way it's always been, this is the way, you know, don't rock the boat, just keep going like this. Well, I'm going to tell you, I this is what I felt like the Lord spoke to me, is that we need the Doge our heart, because there are so many subtle things that come in and work with us to pull us into areas of performance, areas where we feel like God's rejected us, areas where we feel powerless, like a victim. And they're so subtle. Some of them are just religious traditions, maybe, that you grew up in, or that, you know, when you're in the church culture for a long time, you're hearing things from a lot of different sources, isn't that right? You know, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I would be careful about all the sources that you listen to. Are they all building? Are they building your faith, or are they bringing in? Because each one of these things, our first three contestants, it all brings doubt and unbelief into our lives. Isn't that right? It always does. And so if a teaching comes out of the Old Testament, sounds good, but it isn't reflected in the New Testament, right? Like, that you would rend the heavens and pour down your Holy Spirit in the book of Isaiah. That is awesome, right? But what's wrong with that for nowadays? It's already happened. And so if we start relating buying into teachings and say, oh, all we need is just more. You know, there's a song that we bought this album, and we just won't listen to this one song. It says, Holy Spirit, all we need is more of you. Oh, we just need more of you, right? Sounds awesome. Sounds religious. Sounds wonderful. But it's not scriptural, right? It's making us into a victim. Oh, and victimhood is very convenient because it removes responsibility from us. Isn't that right? It just frees us from responsibility. Oh, God, You're in control. You just do all this for me, right? And you got to doge that stuff. You got to root it out. And I'm going to tell you, does that make sense? Rick? People don't like, you see what, what they don't like about the doge is these young people just went in there, right? And they're using artificial intelligence to comb through the computer systems because they could never find where all the lies are humanly. They said, we couldn't do this without artificial intelligence, right? Well, guess what? We need to allow the Holy Spirit, who's not an artificial intelligence, who is the supreme intelligence, who searches our hearts and minds, right? We got to let him just come in here and go through my file system, go through what I believe, right? And I want you to root out everything that hinders this walk of faith in me, because I want to walk in the power of your salvation, Lord Jesus, every day of my life. I want to face every day knowing the salvation is right here in my heart, right? The power of God is right here in my heart. And when I speak, it's released. Is that what the Word of God says? And the institutionals will say, oh, no, that's way too bold. You can't do that. You can't live like that, right? We root it out. We got to root it out. I kind of hit that point. So what do we do about all this? Are you guys all in agreement with me?
Yeah.
All right. So some of those mindsets are from the enemy. Some of the mindsets are just the results of years of religious tradition. And what we want to do is we're just going to make our confession out of Colossians 1:27. All right? We heard this last week. I just love this. This happens to be the verse that we use for our bodybuilders ministry. It's at our letterhead. And it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. The mystery is, what's the mystery? He tells us what the mystery is.
Christ in you,
the hope of glory. I'm going to tell you guys, this was the mystery. All the Old Testament was pointing up to this fact. The cross and the resurrection was all done to accomplish this mystery. This one mystery that was the focus of God from the fall of man. Well, actually, it was even before that. But anyway, from the fall of man until the resurrection, this was the mystery that God was talking about over and over and over and over. I am going to come and live inside my creation. My salvation is not going to be far away. It's going to be right in us. So our confession is, oh boy, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And anything that makes Christ apart from me, that causes me to think that he's somewhere else and that I need to call him down, or that he doesn't have enough power to accomplish what I do. Can I just doge you on one little thing? Okay? In the Word of God, in the book of James, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. How many men?
One righteous.
So when you get a big need, there's nothing wrong with getting people to agree with you in prayer. But if your first thought is, oh, I need to get some people to pray with me about this, what are you saying about the power of God's righteousness inside of you?
Not enough.
I got to run to somebody else. I'm going to tell you, I would just encourage you. I'm not saying don't have prayer partners and things like this. But if that's your first thought, I would doge that and say, wait a minute, God. I'm a righteous man. I'm a righteous woman. Why? Because of your performance? Somebody preach back to me. No, not our performance, right? Because of Christ's performance, right? I get Christ's report card by grace. Isn't that right? Everything that he accomplished, he gave to me. I have his righteousness. The prayer of a righteous man is what? Powerful and effective. Christ, you in me is enough for this. And then if he leads you to get other people to agree with you, do it. I mean, that's great. But don't run to people before you run to that salvation that is in your heart. Does that make sense? That's the kind of dojin that I'm talking about here. And so I just thought, I don't want to miss this. We're almost done here. He says, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that hope there, we've talked about this a lot in church, that's not the kind of worldly hope where we say, well, I hope it's a nice day today, right? Hope it doesn't rain, right? That's just a wish, right? Biblical hope is so close to faith that they go together. Biblical hope is confident expectation, right? So we're saying Christ is in me. That means I have a confident expectation that His glory is going to be expressed in whatever situation is facing me. This is going to happen, right? The prayer of a righteous person, I'll be PC here. The prayer of a righteous person, right, is powerful and effective. That means my prayer, right, is powerful and effective. If something's in my way, if there's an obstacle in my way, what do we do, Barb?
If there's an obstacle, you call upon the name of the Lord.
And what do you say? Right. You say, and where is the Lord? I'd be a little radical. Where is He? So we call on Christ in us. Right? Christ. See, you are not human beings anymore. You are supernatural beings with that you carry around the fullness of God.
So I love what you're telling
us. Oh, well, praise God. And that's, guys, this is just so... Do you see how you can see life's issues coming at you as an opportunity rather than as a disaster?
Yes.
Right? It's like, God, I don't have to bring you down. I don't have to get you, God, I don't have to wake you up from the dead. Right? You're in me, and you've given me the word of faith. How are we going to see this salvation manifest? Right? And I don't know. I'm kind of on a kick on this, but it's like, can I encourage you? It's like, God, I want you to do this in me. I don't want to lean on somebody. We are a community, and I honor the leadership, and I honor the gifts that are in here. But, guys, there's a place where only between you and the Lord things get forged, right? It's only you cannot get that fire. You can bask in someone else's anointing, but you can never get your anointing unless you get it right from God. You've got to go to God and say, God, I want this to work in my life. I want to see how does this work in me. I know how it works in Pastor Rick. I know how it works with others, right? But how I want this to work in me. And this doesn't matter if you're old or if you're young, right? This is, you know, what he says here. This salvation, it is equal opportunity, right? It's not bound by age or anything else. You can have as much as you want, but you've got to take the word of faith, right? And you got to forge in. You got to step in there, saying, "I'm going to be the one. I want to be the one to see this thing happen, right? To see God move." And that's to me, that's exciting. That just gives me like so much joy. So we're going to stand up and make some more confessions. All right, you've all been nodding your head yes, so I know I'm not leading you anywhere you don't want to go. You going to stand up?
Amen.
All right, we've been sitting a while here. Thank you for letting me share this, you guys. I really appreciate it. You know, Mark Twain wrote a little short story. Humorous short story, and he got this little ditty, little popular song with lyrics stuck in his head, and he couldn't get it out. It was just, you know, you ever get one of those, what do they call them, earworms? It was just going around and around and around. And so he figured out the only way that he could get rid of it was to give it to somebody else. So we told somebody else that then they had it, and he was free from it, right? Well, now that's what I'm doing right now. I pray that this is like an earworm, that you cannot get free from this. That's what I'm praying. So here, I'll say it, then we'll say it all together. Can we? So here's some confessions. I am saved by grace through faith and not by works. You ready? I am saved by grace and not by works. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I come in the authority of Jesus Christ. And I come in the authority of Jesus Christ. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I am filled with the power of God. I am filled with the power of God. And when I speak, I release the salvation of God into any situation. And when I speak, I release the power of God into any situation. Salvation is here in me. Salvation is here in me. It's in my heart. And it's in my mouth. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just want to praise you. Can we do that? Can you lift your hands and just praise him? Oh, we give you glory in this place, Lord. Oh, go ahead. Just lift your voices up. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you for this unbelievable gift that you've given us. And Lord, we turn our backs right now on all works and all perfectionism. We put them down, we cast them down, and put them under our feet, saying, no, 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 it's by grace. Can you say it? It's by grace. Oh, I've been saved by grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you're not far away. We thank you that you're right here in our heart, and we give you praise for that right now. And so Lord, we just take rejection. We take the power of rejection.
That's right.
If you've struggled with that, grab it right now with your right hand. Just by faith, grab that thing. And we are going to tear it down by the word of faith right now. That we tear you down, rejection, and we cast you down underneath our feet right now. Yeah. Rejection, that's it. You have no place here. No place in my life any longer.
Thank you, Lord.
Ho, ko, shata, ma, sinte. We praise you, Lord. And Father, we take victimhood. We take that feeling of powerlessness right now. And we take that in our right hand. We just grab a hold of it right now and say, I am not a victim. Speak it to it right now. Speak to it. I am not a victim. Ah, Christ has redeemed me from the curse. And I have been set free. And so I speak the victimhood right now in the name of Jesus. Because salvation is in my mouth. Can you say it? Salvation is in my mouth. And I speak to victimhood. And I tear you down and I cast you down right now. Cast it down. And I'm walking on you right now. Because my identity is I am an overcomer. Who? Christ in me. We have overcome the world. Can you say it with me? I have overcome the world in Christ. Say it again. I have overcome the world in Christ. Oh,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Just bless him. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Yes.
We worship you in this place, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father.
Thanks.
And I just believe right now, you just sense that peace. That is the Holy Spirit settling this word in you. Let this word be in you. And Lord, we receive that right now. We're not believing that we're going to go out and just be the same old person. We are walking in the victory that you provided for us, and we thank you for that.
Thank you. Jeremiah 12:1 says God is watching over his word.
That's it.
Thank
you.
Have God's help.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. I'll just want to finish with this. You said that, Barb, and it just reminded me when I was a new Christian, we were both saved. I was down in the living room. I was just reading my Bible. I read Psalm 138, and it was like, it, it, It wasn't just like 3D, Rick. It's like it jumped off the page. It was a lot. It was absolutely alive to me. And I ran upstairs, and I said, it's kind of crazy, really. I said, Elta, I got my promise. I got my promise. That's how real it was. I got my promise. Psalm 138, and Psalm 138, verse 2, says that God has exalted his name, his word, above his name. His word, I mean, and his name, what happens at the name of Jesus? Every knee, what? Every knee bows, every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. You realize that happens now. That isn't in the future. That happens now when you release it, right? Every knee bows, every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. There's a day when the whole world will, but it happens now. But he's exalted his word above that. How powerful is that? And he's given it to you. And the other verse that came from that is, I called to you and you answered me. You made me, in the NIV, it was, you made me bold and stout-hearted. And I was not bold, and I was not stout. I was not courageous or stout-hearted. I was very insecure. And his word flipped my life around. And so if I get up here and I get excited, it's not my fault. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, so it's time for a huggy break.
Amen.
Oh, go hug somebody that's full of the Spirit of God. Charlena, hold on 1 minute. Charlena. That's it. I was thinking of you when I was sharing that blessed me so much last week, Charlena. Alrighty. Hug somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit.